Assemblymember Gilbert?
Here.
Assemblymember Howell?
Here.
Assemblymember Rooney? Assemblymember Decker?
Here.
Assemblymember Powell?
Here.
Assemblymember Prusunka? Mayor Jack?
Here. Next item is persons to be heard. This agenda item is reserved to provide an opportunity for persons to address the assembly on agenda items or non-agenda items. If someone signs up to speak, if no one has signed up, so I won't go in through the rest of the spiel. But, at any time that the agenda item comes up, you can speak on it. Amendments to the agenda. Does anybody have an amendment to any of the agenda items? Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item?
Mayor, I'm going to declare a perceived conflict of interest on item 13A, senior citizen tax exemption. I just want it on the record.
Right, well, I get the same exemption myself, but it's the same thing that's available to anyone, and not exclusive to either one of us. So I don't think there's a conflict of interest.
And we'll need you to vote, or there won't be a quorum.
Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough Manager's report.
Mr. Mayor, sounds like Assemblymember Decker had a comment.
Did you have a comment there, Julie?
I did. I wasn't quick enough on my mute button here before I called the roll on that, but I just wanted to mention on the minutes, there was one spot, gosh, I can't remember what page it was, but there was sort of a trailing sentence, didn't get completed, and then there's another spot where I was quoted as saying something like, the Ketchikan Gateway Borough's attorney had given us, I had requested maybe the manager speak with the First Bank manager, and I think I said speak with the First Bank president about what the Ketchikan Gateway Borough attorney had given our manager. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Okay, that would be correct.
We'll make that change.
That change will be made.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now the borough manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a couple of updates, unless anyone has any questions to the report. I have requested a meeting by phone with the members of the court to talk about alternatives for getting them back in. They have indicated they're anxious to get back into the building, and I have met with our staff here to talk about how to move forward with that. There are some substantive improvements that need to be made, not the least of which is getting an environmental remediation firm in the building to take care of all of the water damage material, specifically in the court area. But what I have asked our staff to look at is to make sure that any improvements that we would make on the interior of the building are not going to be ruined in the time frame that it takes us to be able to do the improvements to the exterior of the building. The last thing I want to do is spend money that's going to have to be re-spent again. So as it says here in the agenda statement or in the report, we're going to be coming to you with some recommendations in the very near future as to how to get that work done and proceed as quickly as possible to get the court back into that facility. So that is the one of our significant priorities. I don't know if you guys saw this, the Wrangell Municipal Code fun fact. I find it very interesting that we have the ability to adopt regulations regarding milk and milk products. So unless anybody wants to adopt code regarding milk products, I know our finance director who is lactose intolerant would prefer that we not allow milk in town at all. As a joke, only coconut milk and other things. So in case you wanted to do what Lee is interested in, otherwise we'll bring an ordinance back to take that stuff out of the code since it's no longer relevant. As I mentioned in the report here as well, for the FY19 budget, we're getting ready to start work on that, and if it is okay with you, we will have a discussion at the next item, or a discussion item at the next meeting where we can talk about budget policy, if that's all right with the assembly.
Yes.
Okay, great. Under the water treatment, we are going to have a discussion item on that tonight, but we have the initial reports back from a number of the consulting firms who are working on things, and in order for us to have a significant conversation with you guys about that, we're going to need to have a work session, and my hope was to do that prior to the first meeting in February, but at least two of the assembly members and perhaps myself will be out of town at the mid-session of Southeast Conference in Juneau on that night. So my request to you is, could we have a work session on February 6th, which is an off night? That would be Tuesday, February 6th. I'm also going to ask you if we can do my 6-month evaluation on Monday, February 5th. So I don't know what everybody's schedule looks like for that week.
So that's Monday and Tuesday?
Monday and Tuesday.
I think I'm available. I would like to have the reports, though, a copy of the reports before.
We will provide you guys with stuff plenty ahead of time, just like we do a regular packet.
Okay.
Yep.
Actually, the mid-session is the next week.
Right. It's the February 13th. So people will be gone, isn't it?
No, it's the 19th through the 23rd.
No, it's February 13th.
No, Southeast Conference is February 12th or 13th and 14th. Oh, it's AML that's the following
AML
week.
AML is what I'm
right,
talking about.
Right,
okay.
Yep. AML's the following week.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
That's okay. No. There's a lot going on in February, that's for sure. So that's why it's difficult to get things scheduled in the middle of the month, because we have Southeast Conference in Juneau, the 13th and 14th, followed by, I think, the 19th, 20th, and 21st is AML winter session. So if you guys are okay with the 5th evaluation for me and the 6th water treatment work session, we'll schedule those. Thank you for that. And I wanted to mention, we're going to have a discussion on this, but Assemblymember Gilbert had asked me the amount of money. The Assembly approved $50,000 in temporary wages for assistance, summer help for the water treatment plant. And Lee checked today, and $31,000, roughly $804, is what was expended of the $50,000 that was allowed for that. So just to give you guys an idea as we go into those discussions.
Thank you.
One of the things that was requested at the last meeting that I don't have an update for you, but we have requested from the IT person we've been working with in Petersburg, is how our emails got hacked. And the thing I want to confirm for the public is, I have heard from a couple of assembly members that the word on the street is that we had Social Security numbers and bank information and account numbers and all of that stuff stolen. That's absolutely not correct. They were able to get in and send an email that looked like it was coming from my email and then the mayor's city email as well. And that any response emails were directed to a different email address rather than back to the mayor or to myself. We caught that stuff. Lee, the finance director, caught both of those. And in the second instance, the one that was ostensibly from the mayor, I played along for a while, and both of those have been reported to the FBI. But Devron, the gentleman we've been working with in Petersburg, is trying to figure out how that stuff happened, but I don't have a report from him yet. But I have asked him to provide that, and we'll follow up as soon as we can figure something out. But I just want to make sure that the public knows no sensitive information was no account numbers, no important information was obtained or stolen.
And I have another question along the same lines. Our new online payment system for utilities, is that encrypted? Because you look at the URL address. S, and it doesn't seem to have the S for security, but it is encrypted, so we can assure the public that...
Essentially, yes.
Okay. And that's through another company, correct?
Correct. It's a company that specializes in these kinds of credit card payment processing and maintains what they call PCI compliance for retention of credit card information and security.
Okay.
Because this is of such a big interest to the community, even though it's in this report, I'd like to give you a verbal update for the record about what's going on with the healthcare process that we're going through. So just to let the community know that the RFQ was issued for healthcare consulting services, and we received 4 responses to that. There is a committee made up of 2 board members from the hospital, 2 board members from the, or 2 assembly members, myself and Robert Rang, who are evaluating those responses, and we are going to be meeting on Friday to discuss those. And if it's easy for us to choose who that person is, we may not need to do follow-on interviews. If the committee makes a recommendation on Friday, then I will start having a discussion with them regarding the final scope of phase one, which will be to review the letter of intent, that non-binding letter of intent that Search has asked us to enter into with them to get a cost so that we can bring a phase one professional services agreement to the assembly for approval. And what I would like to say, and I had a discussion with Dan Rudy yesterday about this, the last newspaper stated that we had entered into a contract with Search for to do an architectural evaluation, and we have entered into no contract with Search yet. There will be no contract entered into until the assembly has had an opportunity to approve the professional services agreement with the healthcare consulting firm to review things for us, and the letter of intent, the non-binding letter of intent, and entering into an agreement with an architectural firm to look at a campus-type approach will be 2 wholly separate agreements. So I just wanted to make sure that the public is aware of that. And we will continue to provide regular updates. I did meet with the hospital leadership staff yesterday, had about an hour-long meeting with them that I think went very well. I had great discussion and feedback from them that was very helpful. And I will be attending the hospital board meeting in the next couple of weeks to continue to have open discussions with them. And then I'll be looking at having public meetings as well to make sure that we're updating everyone. As Assemblymember Gilbert pointed out to me, there were folks in the public that were not clear that we had decided to move forward with stuff with Search rather than going out for a competitive RFP to the market. And we want to be clear that everybody understands what we're doing and why we're going through this process right now. The Wrangell Island Project Record of Decision has been issued, and I gave a brief summary of that here. The question I have for you is I want to make sure that it is not the intent of the Assembly to pursue any action with the Forest Service because of that decision. Essentially, that if the only additional recourse we would have at this point would be to file suit on the decision, and it's my assumption that you do not want to move forward with that action.
Go ahead.
So I'm assuming you're kind of looking for heads nodding or such, but I don't necessarily want to file a suit, but I'm extremely disappointed in this whole process. I mean, I'm putting it mildly. I don't know how many years, 6 or so years they've worked on this.
10, I think.
And now they've come up with 5 to 7 million word feet over the next 10 years. It boggles my mind. They talked about the beginning when they started this process, it being a potential of a 200 million word foot sale over a period of 10 years. So to me, it's unacceptable. I don't, the lawsuit route, if no one likes throwing money down a drain with lawyers, I just would like to put some thought into what are other options
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
In response to Assemblymember Decker's request, I can find out what options there might be and get back to you guys. I certainly am not prepared to speak to that right now. I know, Carol, I don't know if you are.
It's the only option that I'm aware of at this point. I think we should confirm it, though, is legal action.
Okay. Assemblymember Decker, were you able to hear that?
Yeah, the only option is legal action. Can we find out, like, is there a timeline on taking that action? I mean, the last assembly meeting, I think, you know, it was a separate issue, but it was related to legal action on the ROSA issue, which is part of the reason, a big part of the reason why this 5 to 7 million board feet is so low. We decided not to enter that lawsuit because that lawsuit, I believe, is moving forward with a different group of people. And then I was just curious what the congressional delegation is doing and if they're kind of aware of this situation, what the final decision was.
I know they are aware, but what action, if any, they're taking more than the... I know that they were going to potentially review the entire decision for the Tongass, as it was determined that it could be up for congressional review. And given that session ended, they now have what I think is an additional 90 days starting in January to submit an objection if they want to do that. So we can get a follow-up on that, an update on that from our lobbyist. Moving on, I just wanted to correct something and hand this out. The Assembly had asked that we get personal letters out to people regarding the abatement. I had hoped that I would be able to get the letters out yesterday. They're actually going to go out tomorrow. But this is a copy of the draft for you guys to take a look at. And Carol and I did a drive about in December to identify properties that are probably the best opportunity for some improvement. And so we have a list of those, and we'll be doing another drive about for a second letter, so to a second wave of letters to go out. But this is right now what I'm proposing to send tomorrow. So
how many?
How many are on the list? 15?
Yeah,
120. Yeah. Okay. And as you can see here, we've had a significant amount of staff turnover in the last couple of months, and so we're getting people in place and moving forward with hiring new staff, and that's working out really well. And then I don't know if you guys have any questions on the Public Works report or report from the Economic Development Director that were attached. The sub-reports to my main manager's report include the emergency management and dam status report that was requested, and then the report on the Shoemaker Bay Harbor tideland leases. And so I welcome any comments on those you might have. With regard to the emergency management and dam status report, my recommendation is that the dam improvements be elevated to as a priority project for the community. But the first thing that has to happen in order for us to move forward, especially with requesting any federal funds to match for that project, is that the hazard mitigation plan needs to be updated. And that's going to require one of a couple of different things. We either need to hire a consultant to write that, or we need to cut a staff person loose, as much as I hate to say me, because that's not really an option. We need to free somebody up for probably 3 to 4 weeks solid to be able to rewrite something if we want to go the in-house route. And if we want to get it done as quickly as possible, they're going to have to be removed from whatever other duties they're doing and focus entirely on that. So that's a different conversation we can have, but we either have to pay somebody to do it and find the money to get that done, or we need to figure out an in-house option. And I have written a hazard mitigation plan. I'm perfectly capable of helping do that, but that takes my time from other things as well. And then with regard to Shoemaker Bay Harbor Tidelands, my question to you is, how far do you want me to go?
Anyone have any comment on that?
What do you mean by how far do you want us to go? I mean, they're not in compliance with what you're telling us in this.
That's my opinion. And what I want to make sure of is that there is tolerance by our support by the assembly to enforce the lease requirements and to move forward doing that. Because if there isn't support by the assembly to do that, then there's no point in me going to that person and enforcing the lease. If all that person is going to do is show up to the assembly meeting and say, please don't do this to me, and the assembly is going to say, okay, we're not going to do this to you.
Well, my feelings on it are, is if they're in violation of the lease, and I don't care where the lease is at, then we take action on it.
Okay.
Because it's not helping the economics of this city to have a lease out there that's dead.
Correct.
So, to me, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to back you 100% on that, because it's not right. I mean, that otherwise we're just going to lease it away and just not have no bearings on what's done with it. That's not why we lease land out.
Now, what our opinion of a lease not being in compliance and being dead is probably different than what the lessee's opinion of that is. So,
well, it's wrote out, the way I see it, it's written out quite well.
We absolutely have the ability to make a case, in my opinion, that the leases are not being followed. But I will tell you, these are probably two of the worst written leases I've ever seen with regard to the municipality having a leg to stand on with regard to canceling a lease or moving forward. There's no detail in the lease documents whatsoever.
Doesn't the lease somewhere in there say that it has to be active?
No.
Doesn't.
No, it just says you. I'd have to look at the language again that I wrote in the report. But it basically states to improve and maintain is what it says, or to construct and maintain. It doesn't say they have to have an active business going. The problem is that where I believe they're not in compliance is they're not doing stuff that fits with the zoning district. That's where the non-compliance comes in.
In other words, it's not for storage.
That's correct.
It's for harbor activities.
It allows for indoor storage for water-related items, but that has to be a conditional use.
Okay.
Well, have they applied for any conditional use?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yes, they received a conditional use in 2001 for retail and retail and boat repairs and storage, but the zone requires indoor storage.
Right.
But if the conditional use permit ceases, then it would expire after a year, and another CU would have to be applied for.
So if they're not maintaining that for a year, then the conditional use expires. Right.
Has the lessee been contacted?
No, we have not contacted the lessee.
I would feel more comfortable if the lessee has been contacted and this is brought back to us with more information for our next meeting.
I certainly can do that, but you guys asked for a report on the status of the leases, and so that's why this was brought to you.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Mr.
Mayor? I will too, but it's my opinion that if the lease is not in compliance, when there's alders growing up around the business, it's not being maintained. That's my personal appearance. Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think from my personal experience in areas where it is somewhat maybe
case.
Correct.
And so I think contacting the lease owner is the best first step, verbally, and possibly then next step in writing, you know, then step, we could get through this one step at a time, but that's my experience with the law, is that, you know, fair and reasonable, and move forward with that sort of as our guide forward.
And I think that's what I wrote in the report, was that the first step would be to contact them and ask for an inspection to find out what is going on, so we actually do know how they're being used, because it's from the outside appearance, they're not in compliance. So
seems a shame to do all the cleanup and have the harbors clean up their stuff and people clean up their yards, and then you drive by that and it's just, yeah, it's kind of nice.
That's all I had on that one. I think I've got clear direction. Was there any follow-up from anyone on the emergency management and dam status report?
Well, I always called it the crisis plan, but it hasn't been updated for 15 years. Is that what you're referring to?
That's correct.
Yeah. And our plan from now forward is to look at that yearly and try to establish a committee, and I think you called it the local emergency planning committee.
So does
that exist?
So the LEPC exists, and we actually have a staff person that is grant funded. Roberts. Yeah, Jamie Roberts is our grant funded staff person that is the liaison for the local emergency planning committee. But the LEPC's role really is only related to hazardous materials within the community. The LEPC, that's what they're designed to do. The LEPC is not supposed to be dealing with all hazards and things. So we really need, Jamie's time is she actually does more than she's supposed to technically under the grant, just because she's Jamie and she cares so much about this community and does so much. But we really need to come up with a way forward with the emergency response plan to update that. I mean, the emergency response plan, I'm not kidding you, is this thick. So that takes some considerable work. The thing that needs to be updated first, and I think I mentioned the comprehensive plan needs to be updated as well. The hazard mitigation plan is the thing that I'm recommending be dealt with first, and that's because we have to have that in place and accepted by FEMA in order to take advantage of the funding in the WIN Act, the federal WIN Act that was passed last year, that provides funding for dam improvements, non